Sunday the 2nd of July 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Stories We Love. Sermon title, The Fiery Furnace. Bible reading, Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 29. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 3, starting to read at verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to save us from it, and it will rescue us from your hand. But if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor a hair of their heads were singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Gwen, for opening up God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that as we look through that word, and what it means that you would speak into each of our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would use the words that I speak to glorify your name and to build your church.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gladys Allwood was a British evangelical Christian missionary in China who was forced to flee the city she was living when Japanese invaded during World War II. She could not leave the orphans she cared for behind, and so, with only one assistant, she led more than 100 of them over the mountains towards free China. During this terrible trip, she grappled with despair as never before. After a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. A 13-year-old girl in the group reminded her of their much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. "But I am not Moses," Gladys cried in desperation. "Of course you aren't," the girl said, "but Jehovah is still God." When Gladys and the orphans made it through, they proved once again that no matter how inadequate we feel, God is still God and we can trust in him. So a brief history to get us where we are in our reading today. According to Daniel 1:6, we know that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were of the tribe of Judah along with Daniel and could have been from the royal lineage of Judah and likely of the house of David. We are told in Daniel 1:17 that they had knowledge from God and skill in all learning and wisdom. We also read in Daniel 1 that these men could not defile themselves by eating the king's meat or drinking his wine. But after being proved, the king found them to be 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers that were with him already. That was with him already. And in Daniel 2:48-49, we see that because of God's blessing on Daniel, he was made a great man in Babylon. And at Daniel's request, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were also set over the affairs of Babylon. We now pick up the story from our reading in chapter 3, where King Nebuchadnezzar has had a statue of himself erected that stood set 90 foot high and 9 foot wide, and commanded everyone that when the music played, they were to bow down and worship the image. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego would not bow down because they believed and trusted in God and would only bow down and worship him. They knew that they did not have to justify themselves or apologize for their actions. They were willing to stand up to the king and face the consequences because they knew that what they were standing for was absolute truth. There was no debate needed or for any dialogue to be entered into on the question of whether bowing down to idols was right or wrong. They knew that there was only one God and that bowing down before anything but God was a sin. Even in our world today, we see many bowing down to idols who are worshipped on a daily basis. Now, those idols could be anything that we put before God. And that could be materialistic things, sports, whatever. But we seem to put them in place of God. And in many ways, God has taken second or even third place in our lives. So many things manage to draw our worship, praise and attention away from God and onto worldly things. God said, "You shall have no other God but me." Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego clearly understood what disobeying the king meant. They were not living in some sort of fantasy world where life is always pleasant and nothing bad ever happens. They knew the king had the power to throw them into the furnace, and that he would if they disobeyed him. But this made no difference to the choice they had made. Trusting in God was the most powerful weapon that they had, and they were not going to allow the king to take this from them, even though it might lead to their death. Their love and faith in God was stronger. They knew that even though they trusted in God, this would not always necessarily protect them from facing trials. I think that sometimes the reason why some people turn away from God is because they think that if they follow God, then life would be all honey and roses. And when it isn't, they walk away. We know, though, don't we, that this is not true. God never promised us that if we follow him, nothing bad would ever happen to us. But what he did promise is that he will never leave or forsake us. God is not a magical genie who will instantly grant any and every prayer that is prayed, although he does answer every prayer, but not necessarily in the way that we expect him to, because life is full of trials. In fact, Jesus himself faced many trials and temptations, but he remained faithful even in the most difficult of times. He knew that God was with him, and when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane twice that God would take this cup from him, he also recognized that if it be God's will, then he would do his bidding, even to death on a cross. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And in 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul understood that hardship was a normal part of the Christian life. And I have had many conversations with people who have turned away from God and all that he offers simply because life has dealt them a blow. But it's when we are going through the most difficult times in our lives that we need God more than ever, because he can and does help us through those difficult times if we only let him. Because part of our faith is understanding that we live in a fallen, sinful world, and that we have all inherited a fallen, sinful nature. Faith is remembering God's works, and that only God is able to save and rescue us, which he has already done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And our job is to put our whole trust and faith in him, because God's power and love are the foundation upon which we build our lives. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? Even though at times we may feel life a struggle, remember, God is always on our side, working for our good. And I just had to put this quote in because it's one from Cliff. And as you all know, I follow Cliff. Not before God, obviously. And this is what he says. The more we depend on God, the more dependable we find he is. And how true are those words? The more we depend on God, the more dependable we find he is. So some of it is down to us, isn't it? We have to make sure we put our whole faith and trust in God. Now, we know that Cliff is a Christian, but we also know that just recently he's been through an awful time. But during that time, he remained faithful and he trusted in the Lord. And we know now that things have worked out for him. But even if they hadn't, I believe he would not have given up on God. And that's what we have to do. Never give up on God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego depended on God, and regardless of the outcome, they knew that God would remain faithful in every way. And even if God did not help them and they died in the furnace, they would still not bow down to an idol, because part of faith is recognizing that sometimes God's will for our life is not the same as our will. While they did not know what God would do, they knew that God was in control and that God was greater than any earthly king. Perhaps God would change the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar or miraculously rescue them from the furnace. But whatever happened, they knew that God was with them. None of us know exactly the path that God has chosen us to walk. However, we know that we will face trials of many kinds. God may deliver us from some, but others we may have to face. It was not a son of the gods that walked with them in the furnace, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We know that whatever befalls us, Jesus will never leave us, and nothing will ever separate us from him. The king threw the very worst he had at them, using his strongest men to tie them up, and the furnace was heated to 7 times its normal temperature. In fact, so hot that it killed those who threw them into it. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego faced the very worst, and yet not even a hair on their heads was touched. The devil can throw the very worst of hell at you and me, but he still can't touch us, even if we lose our job, family or our life. Jesus still walks beside us, and we will be with him. Remember, the fire did not kill them. It didn't even burn them. God allowed them to go through the fire, but he did not allow the fire to go through them. And sometimes we too may have to go through the fire, but God will be there with us, because when God does something, he does it all the way. When he heals, he heals. When he saves, he saves. When he forgives, he forgives. Whatever he does it all the way. One of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, lived in the fourth and early 5th century. One day, he was brought before the emperor and commanded to renounce Christ. The emperor threatened him, saying that if he would not renounce Christ, then he would banish him from the country forever, and he would be separated from his father's land for the rest of his life. John responded, "You cannot. The whole world is my father's land. You cannot banish me." The emperor then said, "Then I will take away all your property and treasures." And John replied, "You cannot, for all my treasures are in heaven." The emperor then said, "I will send you to a place of absolute solitude where there is not one friend for you to talk to." John replied, "You cannot, for I have a friend that is closer than a brother to me. He is my older brother. Jesus Christ, who has promised to be with me always to the very end of age. In anger, the emperor then said, I will then take your life. And John said, you cannot, for my life is forever hidden in Christ with God. Are our lives in Jesus with God? Because if they aren't, now is the time to renew our relationship with God through Jesus and allow him complete and free access to our lives, so that when we face the fiery furnace of life, we will come out the other side a winner, because God will be with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the promises that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens to us in this world, you will never leave us. And the promise is there's always a better place for us to go. Father, would you walk with us when we go through those difficult, fiery times? Would you surround us with your love? Give us your strength, your patience. And Father, would you help us come out the other side, knowing that we have met with you, we have walked with you, and it is your love that has sustained us. Come now, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and fill us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.